God has a dream for me. If I will let it be, God has a dream for me. If I only listen, listen, when God has a dream for me, it lets me be. If I open my heart, when old dreams fade and die, and my heart cries why, oh why, God finds a new dream for me. If I open my heart, my mind, my hand, when life is dark and as I go my own way, God has a plan for me, a special design for me. God has a plan for me. If I only listen, listen, God shows His plan to me. Asks me if I'll agree, make His dream reality, being all I can be. When old dreams fade and die, and my heart cries why, oh why, God finds a new dream for me. If I open my heart, my mind, my hand, when life is dark and gray, and off the pathway I stray, God stays beside me each day as I go my own way. God stays beside me each day.
Yes, indeed, God does have a dream for you and a dream for me. The CD was performed by a Canadian duo, Off the Hook. Kevin and Cheryl did me the honor of making this recording of a song I wrote a few years ago. If you would like the copy of God Has a Dream for Me, just go to the website www.innergarden.com. Welcome to Inner Garden Online Chapel. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard, and I'd like to say that this is the day that God has given us. Let us rejoice and be glad that we are in it. Practicing Christianity and spiritualism allows us to embrace and serve an interdenominational congregation. Our mission is to help each and every one of you honor God in your own way by being everything that you can be. We want everyone to know that all spiritual roads lead to the one God. The name of the one God may differ, but a rose by any other name is still a rose, so God by any name is still the same God, a God of love, a source of life, through whom we can celebrate our uniqueness and our oneness with all of creation.
Thank you for joining us again on the Inner Garden Online Chapel. I'd just like to ask if you'd join me just for an opening prayer, and then we'll be right back. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, Creator of the universe and all that is in it, we thank you for this wonderful day and for the opportunity to join with each of the people in communion with Spirit. Let us remember that there are more people out there that are less fortunate than we are, and that we need to feed them in body, mind, and spirit, and give shelter to those who are in need of shelter, and be compassionate towards those who are experiencing challenges of any kind. We ask you to enter into the heart of every person listening today so that he and she may feel the spirit moving inside of them and become part of the earth angels that you sent here to help others in need. Please help us to remember that we come from the same source, God, and we are all part of a greater family, a family whether concerned with earth family or spiritual family. Please help us to learn to live together, accept the differences that we have, and celebrate the uniqueness God has created in each of us. Help us to acknowledge, validate, and appreciate the gifts of each member of the family and all that they express. Most of all, help me, God, to express the highest and the best of those gifts that you have given me so that I may honor you. Amen. Well, before we start the rest of the show, I'd like to kind of thank and acknowledge all the people that have supported us in the last week. We had a young son of 51 years old have a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. And we had many prayers from family and friends and spiritual brothers and sisters that went up. He had his surgical procedure done, and he's back home. He's doing well, and we thank you for those prayers, and we thank the doctors, and we thank God for the healing that is going there. You know, it's at times like this that we really know how important it is that we have family and friends, and that we love them, and that we appreciate those significant people in our lives who we support, and they support us through thick and thin. Last week, our topic, interestingly enough, was I'm glad you're in my dash. And it seems that it's even more significant this week when we understand what happened in our own family. And it's amazing to me sometimes that God sends the exact words that you need for support in such subtle ways, and sometimes even before we need them. So we hope that the Inner Garden Online Chapel is a vessel of bringing those special words to you if you're in need of them today. And that's one of the reasons that we decided to put this program on every Sunday and broadcast. And we thank BBS Radio for allowing us to do that. And we like to send a message of hope out to those people who are in need. I'm going to play a sermon that I did at one of the churches a few months back. And then I'm going to come back. We're going to open the lines as soon as this is over and I give a little bit of announcement. I will give you the phone number and then you can phone in. So it'll be about 15 minutes and we'll open the lines, okay?
Hello.
And we'll be with it right in a second. I'll be playing this sermon, and we had a lot of fun with the church when we did this. Oh, we got a little bit of dead air here. I didn't realize it was so far into the tape. But we'll be right with you. Just remember.
Oh, my friend, and I had a wonderful trip east, met some beautiful spiritualists. And they all have different views, as we all, each of us in our church, have different views, perceive of God in just a slight different way. But it's certainly interesting to interact and see how they're all trying to do their very best to be the best person that they can be, that God has given them the opportunity to shine and be a star for God's love. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about God's love. And if you have ever loved, if you wonder where God is, if you have ever loved someone, that's where God is. God is in that love. And if you have ever told the truth, then God is in that truth that you have told. It is interesting that God is in everything that is part of us. And if you have ever helped to create anything, if you are creative and you have a talent, That is God expressing through you. If you have ever done something really good for someone else, that's God working through you to help another person. And so God is within and without everything that we are and that we do. You know, the Bible says that we should be prayer without ceasing. Now, a lot of people think that means that you have to go along the street doing your beads or doing whatever, prayer shawl or whatever, and be saying, oh Lord, open up my mouth, open up my eyes, and just keep talking to God on a continuous basis. But that isn't what prayer without ceasing is. Prayer without ceasing is living. Living God through yourself and touching people around you. I had the pleasure of watching some of Dr. Shula's program this morning. Anybody who knows me really well knows that Dr. Shula's got to be one of my favorite ministers. And he had a man on, a minister from a church in Tacoma, Washington. And I'm sorry, because I was busy getting myself ready, we kind of had a midnight run, well, actually a 3 o'clock in the morning run to pick our kids up from Mexico. They were flying in. So we kind of went back to bed and got up again. So I got up late, and I'm trying to get dressed, makeup on and everything, watching Dr. Shula at the same time. So I didn't get the time to write the man's name down, but he's in a Tacoma, Washington church. And I was very impressed by him because, like Dr. Shula, he's a very enthusiastic speaker and really believes what he's talking to you about, because you can see it shining through him. You can tell when somebody truly believes what they're saying. So I watched him, and I found him a very interesting man. And a couple of the things that he brought forward were from the Bible, and one was the talents, the story of the parable of the talents. And the most important one there is the one talent that got buried in the ground and was left. And the talent is supposed to be the representation of your life that God gave you. And if you are going to take that life and bury it in the ground and not allow it to express and not allow it to come forward and bring your talents and your abilities forward, then you're going to be like that servant who put it in the ground and was afraid to risk anything. If you really want to get something out of your life, you have to risk. If we want to be loved, we have to risk loving someone. And all that goes with that. We have to risk loving someone and maybe taking the pain along with the pleasure. Because believe me, life is full of beginnings and endings. And you know what? Bad things happen to good people. And not always when we're prepared for them. But you know, the strength of your love with God is how do you pull up your socks and get back in the game, as my stepdad used to say. He's an old soccer player. And you know, if you weren't doing well in one game, or if you went out there and you didn't do really well and you made a boo-boo, you pull up your socks and you get back in the game, you forget about the boo-boo you made. That was his attitude. That's how he lived his life. And that's how we are supposed to live our life. We can't go back on things that we do that weren't correct. That was a learning process. But what we can do is say, okay, I'm going to pull up my socks and get back in the game. Something was done to me. I'm not going to sit and weep and wail and point blame and say it's their fault and his fault, her fault, that I didn't succeed. I'm going to pull up my socks and get back in the game. I'm going to put some risk out there. So this gentleman who was speaking was saying, it's never too late. And it isn't. He said, you may be in a nursing home. You may be very ill, and you may be lying there thinking life is hopeless. But it is never too late to do something. Because here's the key. You want something out of life, you have to invest something in life. You want this church here every Sunday? Then you better invest in this church. Time, energy, and money. And never mind this garbage about, oh, the churches are always asking for money. You hear this. People will say, like, for instance, Dr. Schuller. He'll say, well, send in, blah, blah, blah. His ministry is one of the largest ministries in the world. He could not have that ministry without the support of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that send him maybe $10. Some of them send him $1,000. Some of them leave their estate to him. Without that, that program would not be on the air. And people who don't have the advantage of coming to a wonderful church like we have here with the communion that are maybe locked in and are not able to get out, or maybe emotionally they just are at the end of their rope and they turn that channel, that wouldn't be there for them. So somebody has to invest something into the church or into the ground. If you want vegetables at the end of the year, you have to invest something into the ground at the beginning of the year. Time, energy, and money. You have to get the ground. You got to work at it. You got to feed the right thing in there. You got to get out there and do something with it. Now, if you want to have great things in your life, you have to invest in yourself. You have to get out there and say, well, what is my dream? What is my passion? Marguerite has a wonderful passion in music. And so has our wonderful guitarist here. They have a passion that they come and they express God through that passion. That's only one facet of them as a human being, though. That's only one facet. They have many other passions. And they want to be successful. But you know what they've learned? They've learned something. They've learned how to be successful at your music, Marguerite, correct? If I want to be successful at my music, I have to invest time, energy, and money in learning how to use the instrument. God gave me the talent, the ability, the passion, but I have to invest the time, energy, and money. Now, we are only here for a short period of time. And we're here for whatever reason that we're here. God has brought us into this wonderful world to learn, to express, to touch, to feel, to get all of these wonderful things. And one of the things that this minister was saying, and I thought was very wonderful, was that he has to, as part of his work, it isn't a part of his work that he always maybe enjoys, but he has to do funeral services. And he said he told one of the people who was a director of the funeral service, would you please hire some people who have babies to come in? Because he likes nothing better than somebody who brings their baby. And if the baby cries out, it shows new life. It shows a cycle. And he said he was doing a service one time, and the window was open, and a bird flew in through the window. It circled all around, and then it flew up through the window. It came in. Well, he expressed the same thing as I'm saying here, is that's what life is. We come through that window. We express ourselves flying around and show our beauty and show our talent and whatever we have. And we're going to go back out through the same window which we came. And you know what? We have no pockets in our soul. So we're going to come out there the same way we came in. We didn't have pockets in whatever we were wearing when we came in either. Okay? So we need to leave something here with the people. We need to take something with us because it's a give and take. There's nothing wrong with me going down and saying to Teresa, Teresa, I had a wonderful time at your dinner. And, you know, this I brought back from my trip for you because I remembered you while I was on my trip. And Teresa shouldn't say, oh, Barbara, you shouldn't do that. Teresa should say, oh, Barbara, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for remembering me. Okay? Because in actual fact, they do have something for Teresa, but she didn't know it till now. I'm going to prepare her for to say thank you instead of saying, oh, you should. And for a few other people, too, I brought a little piece of our trip back with us to give to some of our dear friends here. And it should be a case that I should be giving of myself, body, mind, and spirit, to each and every one of you, and in turn, I should have expectations that you are going to return that favor to me. Because what I give to you, I should value. Because it is of God. It is God flowing through me, and hopefully doing my very best. I'm a human. I have frail failings. That surprised Ozzy and to Margaret. They always thought I was perfect. But I do have human failings. And sometimes I make errors of judgment, and I have to go on with those errors of judgment. I have to live with them. That's what I planted. And if it's not a vegetable that I liked, I guess if that's the only vegetable I have in my garden, I guess I'm going to have to eat it, digest it, and suffer as consequences until the next crop comes in. I did a lot of talking at churches throughout Canada, wonderful people. And the one thing that was the common thread in every one of the churches was personal responsibility, because that is one of the things in our, we don't have a creed, but we have principles. Same difference. Sorry, guys. It's the same difference. We have something we live by. We have ethics. And so I did personal responsibility basically as a basis of a lot of the talks. And I really believe this. If you are not happy, things are not going well in your life, look to yourself. You need to be personally responsible for your own happiness so that you may go forward and be full and share with everyone. Because there will come a time when, like that bird, we will make the full circle and we will go out through that window back from whence we came. And I want to be welcomed back as I was here when they said, oh, Barb, you're back. This is wonderful. I'm going to go there. And they're going to say, Barb, you're back. How was your trip? And I hope I'm going to say, great. Way till I tell ya. Thank you. God bless.
Well, that was a talk that I had done at Gateway Spiritual Chapel in Crescent Beach in British Columbia here. And it's a very wonderful church that the people there are very receptive to new people coming in. The ministers that are there that have founded that church, Reverend Gloria Brough and Reverend Arnton Brough, are very dedicated people. And so, of course, they try to keep a very uplifted sermons that we're doing on the rostrum there and encourage people to laugh and have a good time, because basically being in God's light doesn't mean that we should be, you know, sober and quiet and not having any fun. You should be enjoying your life. God didn't put you here to not enjoy your life. And I would like to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on before we open the lines. Right now, for you people who live in Vancouver area or the lower mainland of British Columbia, we have some new awareness classes starting in February the 1st, and they're running through to April. The regular classes held at New Westminster Secondary continue in education, where I've taught for over 30 years, and they will be running starting in the 1st of February. And for the first time, we're going to offer a six-week course at Astral Connections in Delta, British Columbia. And for those people that have listened in all along know that Astral Connections basically tunes in every Sunday, and they're part of our online congregation. And we have a group of people down there that are very supportive, and they asked if we would put this course on, and of course, I said yes, I would love to do that. I have a little bit of time this year. And so together we're going to do that, and people will be able to learn how to expand their own sensory perception, because EFP doesn't mean extrasensory perception. It means expanded sensory perception. So if you want more information about these courses, you can go to www.innergarden.com or phone me, Reverend Barbara Leonard, at 604-594-1565, and that's in Vancouver area. Okay, one of the things that I'd like to do now is I'm going to throw the lines open if there are people out there that would like to phone in. Now, I understand from being on the air now, for this is our fifth broadcast, that there are a lot of people, like a friend of mine who lives up country, that are on what's called dial-up. And unlike the Vancouver area where you can have separate phone lines, their internet is coming through their phones. So what happens is if they want to listen to the program, they can't really shut it down and phone, because it takes so long for them to get through and then get back on the line. They miss so much of it. And I also, from the emails that we have received and from the people who I've talked to face-to-face, say that a lot of times they're interested in what we're doing. If I have a guest on, I want the guest is talking about, and they don't want to phone. So I'm going to talk to Dawn about getting the chat line up, and then I'll put somebody on the chat line. You can chat with us by sending us the information, and they will pass it to me during the broadcast. But we will open the lines now for those of you who do want to phone in. So I'm just going to give you the phone number. For the United States, it's 877-876-5227. That's toll-free. In Canada, 888-810-8322. And the direct line for international is 530-876-3222. And that is BBS Radio that you're getting a hold of there. And if you want to email us at any time, you can email bbsradio.com. Or you can email us at chapel@innergarden.com. Okay? And we'd love to hear from you. So if you want to phone in, just we'll get a buzz from the girl that's being our director today. And Dawn's having a little bit of a business trip, I understand. So, Dawn, if you happen to be listening, hi there. And we'll go on and talk about some other things. I didn't have a guest on because I wanted to kind of open the lines today if people wanted to call in and be able to break it whenever we can. Now, I have a book that I wrote a few years back called Don't Just Stand There Sucking Your Thumb. And if you turn the back of it over, it says, because you have golden plums at your fingertips. And then depicted in the picture on the book is a little girl sucking her thumb and raging with her other hand in the air, which just above her fingers, where her closed fist is raging, are beautiful golden plums. And she's crying and she's raging and she's just internalizing her pain. And if you turn the book over, it is exactly the same picture, but her eyes are open, she's smiling, she's looking up, her hand is open, and she's clasping the plum, and she has a basket of plums now in front of her. Now, what the book basically was done for is a workbook, so that you could get into a seminar. Even if I wasn't in your town, you could kind of be part of a seminar. And we have group in there. They're not real people, so I know that some people have phoned me and they said, oh, what happened to so-and-so and so-and-so after the book? And I say, they are fictitious people. They are based on real-life stories, but they are fictitious. But you will be in a seminar that is a hypothetical seminar with 11 other people, and you will see the scenario that each of these 11 people have going on in their life. And the request is then that you take yourself into that seminar and follow the instructions given to the people in the seminar, and you do exactly the same thing. So what it is you problem solve. So one of the things in the first 25 pages is there are some little helpful hints here. And one of them is on attitude. An attitude is everything. Financially, mentally, and emotionally, or spiritually, and ethically, recovery will be required with some kind of rule for that recovery. And so when you're trying to change your life, you have to change the way you think or the way you receive things that have happened to you up to this point of your life. So it's not necessarily that you can go back, like we were talking in the sermon. You can't necessarily go back and change things in your life. You can't say, well, I wish they were different than they were, because they are what they are, whether it's your own error of judgment or it's something that's been done to you. But what you can do is you can change the attitude with which you receive that into your life at this moment. So even if it's been kind of a thorn in your side and it's causing you a great deal of pain up to this point, you can change how you receive that. You can say, I can't change the event, but I can change my attitude on it. So by changing the attitude, you change how your subconscious mind receives it and how you react to that situation. Now, a lot of people who know me know that I had six sets of parents. And a lot of people, when I was really little, used to say, oh, poor Barbie, you know, she's not from pillar to post. She's in this home and she's in that home and she, poor little waif, you know. And I guess as a youngster, as I was growing up, probably a lot of that subconsciously embedded in my mind. And so I felt that there was probably something wrong with me, which is the first thing that happens with children that don't have the mother or the father or whatever that is kind of the universal idea that we've been taught that fathers and mothers are, or the home life that is what is recommended for the proper bringing up of children. And so they think there's something wrong with them. So that's the first thing that happens to a young person who is going through difficulties of being from one family to the other. The second thing is that sometimes they internalize that and they continue to act out in some way, or they go around smiling and they're accommodating, and they may turn out to be really people pleasers. They may be people who are so giving that they just throw, as the Bible says, their pearl before swine, and they're just so busy giving, 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 that they don't discern whether or not the people that they are giving out. I think we've got a call. Is somebody on the line?
Yes, there is. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. And who am I talking to?
My name is Leilani.
Oh, Leilani, I love your name, you know. I wanted to call my daughter that name. And my family said, no, it's a little bit long. So she got Lonnie. She didn't get Lona, actually. Not
oh,
Lonnie.
That's all right. I'll gift her the lay part. How's that?
Yeah, that's nice.
She can be called Leilani. How's that?
I love Leilani. That's Heavenly Flower, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And what can
sure
we do
is
for you?
Well, I was just listening to your show. This is my first time tuning into your show, and I'm very curious about your show. I love listening to what you have to say because, you know, you're so right about your attitude. And I find myself, regardless of how evolved I feel that I may or may not be, attitude is everything. It's how you look at life in general.
Yeah, Leilani, not only is it everything, it influences everything. And this is what we try to teach with the classes, is that our attitude influences everything. So everybody is attracted or pushed away from you according to what you're putting out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, with the days that are unfolding in front of us, sometimes that can be a bit challenging. And, you know, I have to remind myself that I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. And, you know, it gets tough sometimes.
Well, this is true. And the other thing we do have to remember is we are human. And not beat ourselves up when we make an error of judgment. A lot of times I get to the point now, because I'm 72 years old and I'm getting to the point that I go back on different things that have happened. And I wonder if some of those errors of judgment aren't planned so that we learn something to be a tool for the later part of our life.
Oh, absolutely. I believe in that. And, you know, it's really interesting because I find myself at my age reflecting back on experiences that I had, which helps me today to make, you know, better choices in some of the things. It doesn't mean that I always, you know, do that. But I do find that that's where we gain a lot of our wisdom and our own personal truth. And sometimes we're able to help even make a difference with another person just by sharing our own experiences. And what I'm also finding as well is that a lot of times that helps another person connect with you as an individual, because a lot of times, you know, you feel like the person just doesn't understand you. But
yeah,
once you get that heart connection and they go, wow, this person does indeed understand how I'm feeling, they seem to open up a lot more. Wouldn't you agree?
I think so. And the thing is, too, that we have to realize that we live well. We honor not only ourselves and God, but we honor the people that have gone ahead of us, you know, into spirit. Sometimes, you know, we'll lose a really dear loved one, and, you know, our heart seems like it's breaking. But sometimes even through the worst pain, we have to get to the other side and say, well, by living well, I honor that person. And so we honor God by living well as well.
Yes, we do. And, you know, I've learned and I've held this dearly to my heart is that it's interesting because when we start feeling negative or we start doing, making choice, well, personal choices that hurt us as people, I find that when we dishonor ourselves, we also dishonor God because He wants us to have all good things in life. He celebrates.
Well, He wants it to come out to be good in the end, regardless of, you know, sometimes, as I said, bad things happen to good people. But if we will use that, then we can turn that scar into star, as Dr. Schuller says. He's one of my favorite ministers because he's so positive, you know. And regardless, like did we say in the beginning of the show, it doesn't matter what pathway you're coming to, we come to the one God at the top. And as spiritualists and people who believe that, you know, we have the ability to kind of tune in to other things that are outside of ourselves that people think maybe aren't there. You know, some people won't believe in that or they think it's not quite right. But for us, we're taking the pathway to the same God. And it has helped me enormously through my life.
Yes. Before I say goodbye to you, Barbara, is there a special message that you can give to me or any guidance to help me?
An actual fact right now, what I'm seeing for you is that there is an opportunity for you to start stepping out, and I don't know if it's in teaching or mentoring. But it's like I want to expand that area of working. And so what you have learned is definitely something that, as you say, you do share it with people. But I feel that there is a group that really needs your help at this time. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do, matter of fact,
yeah.
I do.
And the one thing that I would say in the middle of this is that you need to realize that you're going in there with spiritual information, and their little pettiness doesn't really matter because it seems like you may have been holding back because you don't like the politics.
You are so right about that. I just do not do politics well. I'm
well, I
here
think you've hit
to
them before. You
know,
hear, you hit that
and
again.
And that's about the size of it.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is go be that mentor, that teacher, that person who is walking the talk because you appear to do that. You don't just talk about it. You do walk your talk. And, yeah, we all make errors of judgment, and sometimes we lose our temper. Or, you know, I mean, we're human. But the total thing is that you're needed as an example for people. So because you do walk your talk, and I feel good about that. Can you email me, Leilani, because I'd like to stay in touch with you.
Oh, absolutely. I would feel very honored to do so.
Good.
And I really want to thank you for your guidance. I really appreciate it tremendously. And by the way, did you know you were a healer?
Yes. Everybody is a healer and everybody is a medium. I think the healers are mediums because they're bringing the energy through and helping healing and they say the right words. And I think the mediums are healers because whether they're doing it by counseling, they're still healing.
Yes.
I think everybody has a capability of channeling that energy of God.
Right. Another thing before I let you go, Barbara, because I do appreciate you speaking with me, is one of the things that's held me back besides politics, and I do believe that we have made our lives extremely complicated because of politics.
Mm.
We are just so set in doing a lot of red tape stuff instead of all of us just joining and supporting each other for a common cause, and the common cause should always be a main focus of helping humanity as a whole. And there's so many creative ways that you can go about doing that. If I said to you, would you send me $1 a month so I could feed a group of children, would you actually do that?
Oh, yeah.
All the red tape involved with it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where a lot of, where a true assistance in helping our sisters and brothers out there doesn't get done because of all that red tape and stuff. But one of my main concerns has always been, too, is that I've worked very diligently on my energy. And,
exactly. I'd rather put the dollar in somebody's hand.
Intimidates people.
Yeah. Do email me, though, eh?
I will. I will. And many blessings to you.
Yeah, either at barb@innergarden.com or chapel@innergarden.com. Either one will get me.
Okay.
Okay, and we'd love to hear from you. Where are you calling from, Rilani?
Arizona.
Oh, wow. Well, you have a good day.
And you do as well. Thank you.
I think you guys sent us your winter.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye, darling. Well, that was really nice. We do get a few people that are calling in, and it's nice to know that we have people out there listening, because the most important thing is that we're trying to get the message out. And one thing Leilani brought up, and hopefully she's back on, and I'm going to give a little story about this politics thing, that I had a friend who was a newspaper reporter, and she used to say, you know, I can never understand why perfectly wonderful people who are intelligent, educated, have all the talent in the world, and have all the ethics in the world, sometimes they get into politics, and it's like they drink the water in the parliament buildings and something goes wrong. And she said, I think there's something wrong with the water in the parliament buildings. Well, I'm afraid sometimes that happens in every walk of life, whether it's churches or whether it's groups. There will be a few people that when the power gets in there, it's like they drank the water. And we have to be humble. We have to stand back sometimes and just be humble. Say, God bless them. Go do whatever you need to do and work in your spiritual way. And just really don't concern yourself if people get into a power struggle or anything of that nature, because that's not really what your job is. And when you see you get caught up in it sometimes, just step yourself back from that and say, oops, I'm resigning from this, and I'm going to get back to giving my spiritual work the power instead of all the energy to the arguments or the differences. We should respect the differences that everybody has. That's one thing we say every Sunday. Everybody has uniqueness, they have differences, and we should respect that and allow them to have their own thinking, but also we need to work in our own way up the pathway that takes us to that one God. Talking a little bit about the book that I was talking about, one of the things that I have in there was attitude. The other one was personal responsibility, and you heard that in the talk, that we have to be personally responsible for making ourselves happy, or whatever we want to get out of life, we have to be the farmer. We have to be the one that goes out there and does the work, puts the time, energy, and money going in. But one of the things I think most people out there have the hardest time is most ministers will say, well, you've got to forgive. And they say, but I can't forgive. It's such atrocities that have happened to me. How am I supposed to forgive that? Well, there's a difference between forgiving and condoning. And forgiveness has to be done because it's not as much for the person that has been the creator of the problem as much as it is for the person giving the forgiveness. Because if you have things that are eating away at you, they're like, the more that you think about it, you keep giving fuel to it, and it grows bigger and bigger and bigger, and it becomes like a snowball rolled in snow. It keeps getting bigger, and it attracts more negativity and more negativity, and eventually it'll fall on you just like a big avalanche. So what you need to do is to forgive them. Now, you not condone them. I don't have to say, I condone the way somebody did something, or I condone how they acted. I don't even have to condone my own actions, that maybe I did something when I was 15 or something when I was 25, something when I was 30, because now at 72 I know a lot more, so I know better, so I'll do better. And that's what we really have to be aware of. So it's really important that we know the difference between forgiving and condoning. But the minute that we can kind of take a different attitude on that, I was talking about my own life and having six sets of parents. in the end, as an adult, when I became in my middle 30s, I went and did a life review, so to speak, on what was gone back. And I basically am a hypnotherapist, so I took myself back to the age of a small child, looking at my mother from the eyes of a child, and then also looking at my mother from the eyes of an adult standing outside of that child. And I realized a lot of things. I realized, first of all, that my mother was 18 years old when she got married. And at 18 years old, I certainly today would not expect my 18-year-old grandchild to have the brain or the experience or whatever to be able to make all the good choices. He's not a god. He doesn't have everything knowledgeable. And as a youngster, we tend to look at as a parent at something just short of God. And so this is one of the things that I realized, that my mother was 18. She was in a marriage that was kind of good enough. It was a rebound from a romance that she had. So I kind of looked at that and said, well, I guess that was part of God's plan so that I would get here, that I would be born to these two parents. And maybe I even chose that. We won't even go into that till another day. And then the other thing that happened there, I realized that she lost her first child, her firstborn child at the age of 14 months old, passed away, and my mother was by this time only in her very early 20s, just about 21, 22 years old. So I'm looking at a lot of experiences that happened to her that maybe not excuse it, but give a reason to why she went the pattern, the direction that she went. The Second World War came on. She was in her middle to late 20s, early 30s, while my father was overseas. And things happened there. They don't know if they'll ever come back. Things happen in the relationship. They grow, both grow in age, in different areas of their life. And it just wasn't there for them when he came back. So I was looking at this as an adult now, rather than looking at it as a child of 5 to 11 years old. Took an entirely different perception on the reason why these things may have happened to them. And as I've got older now, I realize that it may have all been part of a master plan, because had I have stayed in one family, raised there, there were mentors, there were people that touched my life, that even every parent that I had that helped teach me something. So there was definitely a reason to why I was brought into the world, moved from different place to different place, and each of those parents brought me something that I needed to know, that I needed to have to be able to do the work that I do now. So as I look back on it now, it becomes a useful tool. It doesn't become a painful, agonizing thing where I'm feeling sorry for this little lost child who didn't have a childhood and then at the age of 11 years old even had the father return and the separation from the family completely, not only in and out of family during the time my father was gone, staying with different aunts and whatnot, now going into actual foster home as my dad could not take care of me in the daytime while he worked, and then going from that into two of his sister's homes. But each of these experiences brought me something and taught me something. And if I will use that as an experience, as a tool, then I, at 35 years old when I found this, I could then go ahead and say, okay, now I can use that to help make my future better. What can I do? Well, I know for one thing it helped me raise my children better. There were things in my life I didn't want to have them experience, so that helped that. I married a man who had also gone through some of the similar things that I had, and we together had decided we were not going to have these experiences happening to our children. So that helped with that. I had a teacher in grade six that up to that time I had not been the brightest candle in the box as far as everybody was concerned. They didn't know that I had a type of disability. Of course, they weren't named in those days. Not only was I ADHD, but had a slight dyslexia. And I got into grade six, almost failing grade five a second time. And in grade six, this teacher who discovered way back in the days in the late 40s, before they ever knew about these things, he was way ahead of his time, how to teach a child to decide that there was something they wanted to do, to give them a passion for one thing and teach them how to be good at that, and then they learn to apply it to other things and teach them how to work within a plan, within perimeters, which was something that was very necessary for the type of condition that I had. Now, that served me well for the rest of my life, and my children were brought up on a gentleman by the name of Mr. John Pickering, who taught at a Niagara Street school in Toronto. And if by chance any of you out there happen to know of John Pickering, do say thank you to him. I've dedicated part of my book to him, and certainly this is something that for the rest of my life, my children were raised on the positive attitude, the positive things this man said about me, and I am doing the things I'm doing today, became an honor student for the rest of my school years while I was in school, which was not for very long. And then I came out of school, went back 20 years later, and completed my grade 12, and am now an instructor in the evening schools, the extended continual education at the same school that I graduated from. And learned to do something really well, learned how to apply it to everything I wanted, learned that if I wanted to do something, I could put myself within a plan, keep my mind focused, not be all over the place, here and there, and blaming anybody else, but just taking that personal responsibility and doing that. And from that, I just went nowhere but up and was very successful in my everyday, workaday world, and also got my ministry, and now we have this program. And so I hope that that gives you a little bit of history of what's gone on and where I've come from. And if you care to share any of the information with us at another time when we're on the air, just do phone in or email us. It's really important that we get some emails and know that you're out there. It was nice of Leilani to phone in. I know we've had a couple of other people that have told me that they sometimes they'll try to phone in and it'll be busy. Other times they'll try to phone in, but they want to hear what else we're talking about, so they don't. So at least email us and let us know what your ideas are, or give us some ideas for the show. Now, the one thing that we say every week, and we want you to remember this, and that is that we celebrate the one God in this ministry. We are here to be a universal church for everyone. We think differently than you do. We have different ideas than you do. You may be from the Roman Catholic Church. You may be from the Anglican Church. I have a friend who's an Anglican minister, and he certainly respects what I do, and I respect what he does, and I attend his church from time to time, and we are really good friends. We all worship the same God, so please celebrate that one God in your own way by attending the church or chapel, temple or synagogue of your choice, and also take a little time every day to meditate in God's chapel inside yourself in your own sanctuary. And the thing is that we would know that if you would do that every day, you ask for healing for yourself, you take the time to bring that energy into your life and heal yourself every day from the tiredness, and it takes all of about 8 minutes to breathe clean air, let the energy move through your body, and listen to what God has to say. Every morning, get up and say, thank you, God. Thank you for being here for me. And I would like to say the closing prayer, and that is, Heavenly Father, God, creator of the universe, please allow your healing energy to draw through all of those in need of healing in body, mind, or spirit. We know that your attitude on everything in our life and the influence of everything in our life, and that If we will maintain a positive and open attitude to the healing power of your love for us, and that we allow ourselves to remember to send healing to the leaders of our nation so that they may influence the decisions that are best for our country, for our planet, and for our educators and our ministers to stay in tune with the ethical side, the spiritual side of themselves. And we would ask, too, that in closing, that you remember that we need to be tolerant of others and their beliefs. We are not all right, no matter who we are, and we always can learn something every day. May we start our own lives to be to the glory of you, O God. Amen. We'd like to thank you and thank WWBBSradio.com for allowing us this time and bringing this online chapel to you. We'd also like to thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next Sunday. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard saying God bless you and the angels go with you. Any information that you want, it will be at www.innergarden.com, email chapel@innergarden.com, or BBS Radio, let them know how we're doing. A wonderful rendition of the song God Has a Dream for Me is done by Cheryl Catherine Smith, arranged by producer of her husband, Kevin Swain. And it's also available online if you choose to donate to the online church. And we will send you a copy of God Has a Dream for Me. It is Barbara Leonard saying, don't just stand there sucking your thumb. It's one of our books and a phenomenal power of the curious mind is the other book. So join us next week, God willing, and the creek don't rise. We'll see you then.